Hello and welcome to today's edition of the Baptist Bible Hour with LaSayre Bradley Jr. I'm Thomas Mann, inviting you to stay tuned for another message from God's Word.
He says, "The one that believes shall do the works that I do." And as if that is not enough, he says, "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father."
And it seems an almost outrageous claim that if Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, he would then turn to believers and say, "But greater works than mine you will perform." It seems absurd that individuals who are robed in humanity and limited by their humanness and their fallenness could possibly do works even approximating the greatness of the works of Jesus. And yet, we know that Jesus is speaking about the scope of the work, the fact that his truth will spread literally worldwide without God being physically among them. That is an amazing thing, that such great works would occur, thousands and thousands converted even in those early days, and millions across the centuries converted to Jesus Christ without God being bodily on the earth. These are amazing works, and Jesus alludes to them as he encourages his disciples before going away. Well, it's an encouragement to the church today, and LaSayre Bradley Jr. takes this passage and expounds it, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. Very quickly, let me invite you to write and let us know that you're there. The Baptist Bible Hour, P.O. Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's P.O. Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.
Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples. They walked with him over many miles. They heard his teaching. They saw his miracles. They had a very close and intimate fellowship with him. But now the time is drawing near that Jesus will be leaving them. While he has made reference to that a number of times, the disciples were slow in grasping what all this involved. So as he has made it more explicit, they are distressed, they are grieved, they're confused. But in John chapter 14, he is giving them words of comfort. In the first message we brought from this chapter, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a message of comfort. What encouragement and comfort we receive from that declaration today. Let not your heart be troubled. Because I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you, that we shall be together. And then in the last message, we found comfort specifically in what he said in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then in the conversation that follows, he puts emphasis once more upon the fact that he is one with the Father. He is the God-man, God in the flesh. And now we come to some additional words of encouragement. Amazing words of encouragement as Jesus encourages his disciples further. Verse 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. First, there is encouragement to believe. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Philip had asked, show us the Father. And Jesus has said, in that you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And although the disciples had been with him over this period of his ministry, they just had not been able to fully grasp all of the issues involved. Jesus, though, was very patient with them, and that ought to give us some encouragement. There's many things that we don't understand. Sometimes probably make an assumption that we understand more than we do. But there are many areas where we're lacking in full understanding of all that the Scripture teaches. But Jesus was patient with these disciples. And we can be thankful that he's patient with us and learn to be patient with other people that may disagree with us and may be struggling themselves over some vital issues. So now he says, the Father dwelleth in me, and he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Believe because of the words that I have spoken. Believe because of what you have heard, because of what I have declared unto you. Now let's look at some other references where Jesus is talking about the significance of the words that he has spoken. John chapter 3, verse 34. And he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. In other words, there's no limitation upon the amount of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that Jesus enjoyed while he was here on this earth. He was anointed of and full of the Spirit. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. So, that one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. Now look at chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. In other words, the things that I'm teaching are not just rambling thoughts and ideas or philosophies that I have initiated. I'm here sent by the Father, and I'm speaking the very words that he has given me to speak. Chapter 12. Verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So now in this 14th chapter, he's saying, believe me because of the words that I have spoken. In other words, they are authoritative. I'm not speaking of myself. I'm speaking of the words, the commandments given to me by the Father. In John chapter 7, verse 46, it's one of those occurrences where officers approach Jesus being sent by the authorities with the idea of arresting him. They were ready to kill him long before the time of the crucifixion. But when they came, they couldn't take him. And when they returned, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. It was impossible for us to take him. There was something unique about him, something about the words that he spoke. Never did a man speak like this man spoke. And then similar observations are made at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 to 29, when Jesus concluded that discourse, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. So as Jesus himself declares, the message that he brings, that which he teaches, the doctrine set forth, is not his own, but is of the Father. It is a message come down from heaven. It is authoritative. On the basis of these words, you ought to believe. And then those that were in the presence of Jesus when he spoke themselves drew the conclusion, no other man has ever spoken like this man. Or those that heard the discourse, the Sermon on the Mount, said, this man doesn't speak like the scribes, like the other religious teachers of our time. He speaks with authority. But then he also says, believe on me, verse 12, verily, verily, chapter 14, back to John 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. He's saying, believe because of my words. And if you're not going to believe because of my words, believe because of my works. Because of what I have done, because of what you have observed. John chapter 5, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Jesus says, the works that I do, just like the words that I speak were given to me the Father, the works that I do are the works that the Father would have me to do, and I am finishing them, I'm completing those works, and they bear witness of me. They bear witness that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. These works bear witness of me. And what mighty works they were. What miracles. They had seen him feed the 5,000. They had seen him walk on the water. They had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead, a man who had been dead for 4 days. These works testify of me, he says. So believe because of the works. John chapter 10. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Here is a witness, here's a testimony that I am who I say I am. That I am the God-man. I am the one sent down from heaven. Verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Encouragement to believe. Believe me. Have faith. Trust me. You believe me because of the authoritative words I have spoken. Believe me because of the works that testify of my unity with the Father. Now, he continues by saying, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, shall he do also. Now, that's a rather startling statement. The one who believes on me, some draw the conclusion that this has reference only to what would be done by the apostles following Jesus' ascension back to heaven. But there's no indication of that in the text. He says, the one that believes on me, the one who is a believer. And that phrase, that expression is used numerous times in the scriptures, referring to all who are a part of his family. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So He says, the one that believes shall do the works that I do. And as if that is not enough, he says, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, when we think about the works that Jesus did, we think about the healing of the sick, the cleansing of lepers, the casting out of devils, walking on the water, feeding the multitudes, raising Lazarus and others. Say, how is it that those who are believers in him, not just apostles, but those who believe in him, will be doing greater works? I found that that text was not just a challenge for me, but every commentator that I read said, this is a challenging passage. Now, the fact is, the disciples did perform miracles. Of course, he had given them certain power while he was here on the earth. And after his departure, there were great miracles that they performed. Let's look at a couple of references just as confirmation of that in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more that added to the Lord multitudes of both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. So here is a remarkable miracle. There were numerous ones that were healed and unclean spirits cast out, but in some cases there were those who were healed just by being in Peter's shadow. So they were doing mighty works, great works accomplished even after Jesus had departed. Let's look at one more. Hebrews chapter 2 and the 4th verse. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, there were some that were able to do these great works in the early era of the church. But you find reference in the Corinthian letter, for example, that this wasn't something that every believer was able to do, but there were those that had special gifts. Refers to the gift of tongues and the gift of healing and these other gifts. They were given to specific individuals, God giving them that gift. So where does that leave us when he's saying that those who believe on me are going to do the works that I have done and even greater works? Let's go back to the first chapter of the book of Acts and read in the 8th verse. These are the words of Jesus, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. They've gone out to the mountain. Jesus delivers these final departing words. His feet lift off the ground. He ascends up through the clouds, and they're standing there looking up. And a man appears and says, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This one that you've seen go away is going to come back. But what is the promise that Jesus gives them? You're going to receive power, power from the Holy Ghost, and you will be witnesses. The gospel has been proclaimed in Jerusalem. Most of the believers are centered there. At the time that Christ went away, there was probably only a few over 500. The number 500 is referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll recall. Probably only a few beyond that. And Jesus has given them the mission of circulating his gospel, and that Christianity is to be expanded. It's not to stay within the borders of Jerusalem. It is to go around the world. Now you look at that and say, how can these humble followers look at the number of the apostles themselves and understand the background of most of them? They were not highly educated men. They didn't have political clout. They didn't have a lot of the techniques and methods that are employed today in the name of Christ. How would they be able to circulate the gospel? How could the church grow? How could Christianity be expanded? But here is the promise of Jesus. You're going to be a witness to me, not only in Jerusalem, not only in all Judea and Samaria, but unto the uttermost part of the earth. How's that going to happen? How are they going to get there? Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 4. The day of Pentecost has come. They were all with one accord in one place. Let's start with verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were people at Jerusalem at this time from many different nations. Verse 5 says, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Was it not by divine providence that people from every nation were assembled there? The question to be asked, how are we going to be able, in our tongue, to speak to these people from many different tongues that they can understand? For the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and they spoke with other tongues, so that every man could hear and understand in his own tongue. They didn't need a translator. This was by the power and gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 15. Peter is responding to the accusation that these people must be drunk. Or he says, these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In the prophecy of Joel, it was declared that there would come this time of the special outpouring of the Spirit. On my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Peter comes forward and preaches a message, calling on men to repent, saying, you by wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. Yet speaking of the divine purposes and providence of God, he was delivered according to God's purpose to go to the cross to redeem his people. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, get the picture in your mind. Back here in John 14, these disciples are grieved, understandably so. They have looked to Jesus as the one who provided their needs, the one who had the answers to people's questions, the one who had power to be able to walk away from those that would prematurely want to take his life. So many wonderful things about their interaction with Jesus. And when he says, I'm leaving, this is my time of departure, they feel devastated. How can we carry on this work? Look at how few we are in number. Is this going to mean that everything comes crashing down? See, some of them still have the idea that Jesus had come to set up a materialistic kingdom, and they were disappointed. You remember they had several occasions when they discussed who was going to be the greatest and who was going to sit where, thinking very much from a carnal standpoint instead of thinking about the spirituality of the kingdom. And so all of those dreams are crashing down. That's not going to happen if Jesus is going away. So how is the work going to be carried on? Who could have imagined, as they converse with one another about their perplexity, their deep concerns about the future, that in a few short days there would be an outpouring of the Spirit of God and 3,000 people would be converted in one day? I think this is what Jesus has in view when he says you're going to do even greater works than I have done. Not that there were going to be miracles that were more spectacular than walking on water and feeding 5,000 with loaves and fishes and raising a man who had been in the grave for 4 days. But as far as the extent, the expanse of the work that was going to be done, where Jesus spoke to a limited number during his ministry on this earth, now the church is going to grow. The gospel message is going to be heralded, and there's going to be a great ingathering.
And we need to pause right there today in this message entitled Jesus Encourages His Disciples, and invite you back again tomorrow for the continuation. Let me quickly invite you to write and let us know that you're there at the Baptist Bible Hour, P.O. Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's P.O. Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. Or you can call today toll free 1-800-473-4BBH. That's 800-473-4224. Find us online anytime at BaptistBibleHour.org. And that's it for today. I'm Thomas Mann, inviting you back again tomorrow when Lasayer Bradley Jr. brings another Bible-based message on the Baptist Bible Hour.
Story, this is my song, praising my Savior.